Hello, dear friends, and welcome to the first Affirmative Prayer telecast. My name is Reverend Dr. Bonnie Barnard, and it's my pleasure to be your teacher and your facilitator and your host, and to bring forth this amazing technology for you to use so that your life may be changed for the better. So I'm going to give you just a minute to jump up, to grab a paper and pen if you don't already have it, to get yourself a cup of tea, a glass of water. And if you're already set and centered and ready to go, then I invite you to take the next 30 seconds or so just to breathe deeply, and we will reconvene with a prayer. All right, since this is a prayer class, let's begin in prayer together. Take a big, deep, audible breath so loud that I can hear you across the phone line. Ready? Nice. And this next one, as you exhale, just allow yourself, give yourself permission to lean into your center and to release. So let's go ahead with another big deep breath. Very nice. And we're going to begin with an affirmative prayer. I will speak it, and you just be open to hearing and receiving it. Because this is a class that we are doing together, the intention that I have is for intelligence to be operating through each one of us, and as it always does, but that we're awake to it, and for expansion and openness. So this is the prayer. God is all that there is. God is a presence and not an absence. There is not God and anything. There is God as everything. God is the intelligence behind which, out of which, and through which all intelligence is known. As God is all there is and it is intelligent, then I must be. I am an emanation, an expression, a beingness of God itself. God is and I am. God is intelligent and I am intelligence. So too is each and every person on this phone call. Therefore, the intelligence of God is here, right here and right now, bringing forth realizations, revelations, and insights in, through, and as me, and in, through, and as each and every person on this phone and on this replay. It is here now as the intuitive knowing of each one of us. Because of this time together spent with the intention of deepening in our awareness of the good of God, deepening in the desire to connect with the only thing that is, because of this time together, each one of us recognizes more of the God that we are as we open up to the intuitive guidance that each one of us is given right here and right now. The intelligence of God shows up through intuition, through revelation, through insight, through knowing. And all of that is present right here and right now. And so knowing that all life begins in God, all life comes from God, all intelligence is expressed as God through creation. Knowing that this is true, having touched it together today in consciousness as intention, I release this prayer knowing that it was fulfilled before I even spoke it, and grateful that this presence is in operation. So releasing this prayer, I give thanks. And so it is. Amen. Fantastic. Oh, I'm so excited to share this technology with you. So as we begin today, I want to start by talking a bit about the benefits of prayer in my life and in the life of the clients that I've worked with. And I have been using affirmative prayer for myself for over 20 years now, and for my clients for about 20 years. And during that time, I have gotten to watch one miraculous, and it really is ordinary, not miraculous, but one ordinarily miraculous moment after the next, where individuals have discovered that everything they need is within inside of themselves and it comes from God. And this process and this prayer process is so beautiful. So these are some of the benefits that I have written down that I have observed over these years. One is that affirmative prayer brings the concept of God as being a thing, mostly a man, but being a thing outside of myself, somewhere far away that I beg to being an actual presence that lives within me. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is within, that the kingdom of God is at hand, that the Father does all of the work through him. And this is that consciousness of knowing that the presence is not in any way limited, and it is not limited to one specific form, but that it actually lives in, through, and as all creation, and we are that. So the first benefit of prayer in my life is that it shifted the concept of God as being distant to being so incredibly intimate that it's my breath, that it's me, that it's my beingness on the planet, that it is who I show up as, that it is the only presence and power that exists, and that I get to lean in and receive from it. It's really, really lovely. The second benefit I point out is that my self-esteem increased tremendously by knowing that my life is holy. And, you know, when we believe we're out there on our own trying to make it, and we're wearing different facades, different faces, and we're trying to sell ourselves or trying to get something from the world, when we come from that place, our self-esteem can't be anything else but damaged, can't be anything else but limited, can't be anything else but starving for knowing that we're okay. And what happens with this process of affirmative prayer is that we start cultivating the realization, the truth, that as God is all there is, and we are it in form. That's right, that I am it in form, and you are it in form, and our bosses are it in form, and our garbage men are it in form, and the grocery store clerk is it in form, and that aunt that drives us crazy is it in form. When we realize that the divine spark of God is within each and every person, when we realize that the presence of God is all there is, then something happens within us, and that something is that recognition that all is holy, and by that recognition alone, we can no longer be mean to ourselves. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I can no longer, in good conscience, treat myself poorly, diminish myself, devalue myself, because I know who I am. And that is such a powerful thing. And as I know that about me and know that about you, then I can't do it to you either, my friend. So it's a really powerful way to live. The third benefit I had is better care of my body. I stopped seeing my body as a mass of whatever, as a mass of fat or a mass of cellulite or a mass of pimples or a human mass or anything other than a temple. My body is a temple. God lives within me. And when that is the case, oh my gosh, I treat myself so differently. I make sure I walk because my body feels good when I walk. It's a form of honoring my body. I listen to my body. I listen to the temple because there's wisdom that resides within the walls of the temple. I eat different because I want to tend to this home that I occupy for this time here on the planet, and that this home is not solely a home, it's actually a temple to the Most High God. So my body care has gotten better. I have incredible appreciation for being alive. It's interesting, I was asking clients to write testimonials for me as I have left being in solitude, where I removed myself from society and went into solitude and silence for 3 years. And during that time when I was in seclusion, in prayer, in meditation, in journaling, opening my soul in a way that needed the silence to do that, as I was doing that, I came out and the world was different. The external world was different, and social media existed and lots of it. And all of a sudden, you know, I just really felt compelled to ask people how I've made a difference in their life so I could have some testimony. And about 90% of them said that one of the reasons that they like being in my presence so much is that I am alive, that life itself is pulsing through my body. And not only am I alive, I appreciate life. Another benefit of prayer in my life is that I have gone from thinking that other humans are my enemies in some way, and I've come to love humanity and want to serve them. This is a gigantic shift. This is a huge shift. I experienced some abuse as a child, some physical abuse as a child, and went from feeling a need to protect myself everywhere I went to being a place now where I love the people that stand in front of me, and my perception of people, of humanity, has totally and completely changed. And that came out of a solid prayer practice, a daily prayer practice. It also has healed many, many broken hearts that I have experienced. And the Buddhists say that when a heart is broken, that its intent is that we may have more light coming through it, not that we close it down. And so what I've come to learn is that in healing brokenheartedness, it really has been a way of surrendering my heart more and more and more to be that presence of love that I desire to be in the world. And that came through prayer work. I now have a connection with my soul, and I remember the day that happened. It was while I was in that silence and that solitude. And I do want to put a disclaimer here because I may be scaring some of you on the phone. I am not advocating that anyone else do what I did and take time off and go do that deep soul work that I was called to do, because most people aren't called to do it. What happened, though, was I had a profound connection with my soul, and I realized that my soul is that intersection within my being where God and the human body come together, where that intersection where heaven and earth reside as one. So it's a place within me that's my oneness. So that's where my soul is. And I had the privilege of connecting with my soul in large part because of having a daily spiritual practice of affirmative prayer. It has led me to write work. And this is an interesting thing, because a lot of clients I work with, and myself included, have felt for a very long time like we have to do whatever in order to make money and survive. Well, the idea that we are the image and likeness of God, and that we have our own unique capacities, gifts, and talents, and we're here to bring those forward, shifts everything from how can I get money, although that's important and that is a question that may be asked, but going from how do I get money to how can I serve, how can I bring forth my gifts and talents, and how can I have an exchange with that. like, how can I bring me out to humanity? And how can I do that in such a way that humanity benefits and I benefit by having a paycheck, check, a salary, some money in exchange? So right work comes about as one of the benefits of an active prayer life. I moved from pain to freedom. We're going to talk about that later. And it strengthened my intuition. And what mystics have said for a very long time is that God speaks to us through our intuition, that we have inner knowings, and those inner knowings that we have are the voice of God within us, giving us information. So there's like a handful of really, really powerful benefits of prayer in my life. And there's a lot more, but this is a good place for us to start. So I set an intention for the teleclass, and that intention is to learn the art and practice of affirmative prayer by creating our or your own unique prayer, aligning who you are with the divine truth of you. So what that means is that by the end of this class, you will have your own power prayer that you will have created and that you can email to me and I will provide you feedback on. Each week, you will have homework assignments. I think I call them practices instead of homework. And email those to me. And when you do email those to me, what I will do is give you feedback and I will hold you in prayer for the intention that you have with your power prayer. And so I will be that two or more consciousness with you in order to bring that prayer into fruition. So this is real exciting. So the class intention is that you learn prayer and that at the end of our time together, you'll have a power prayer that's uniquely your own. My email address is Rev, as in Reverend, R-E-V, Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, last initial B. So RevBonnieB@gmail.com. RevBonnieB@gmail.com. Feel free to email me with questions that you have, but send me the practice work that you do so that I can go ahead and respond to you and hold you in prayer as well. You will get from the class as much as you put into it. And the truth is, since we are working in the realm of spirit, you will actually receive a lot more than you put into it. It's really amazing what happens when we work in the invisible field. Practice is everything. Practice is everything. Practicing your prayer work to yourself, practicing your homework practices, that will do more for you than anything else. It's powerful. I suggest 10 to 30 minutes a day, depending upon what your schedule's like and what you think you can do. But even the littlest amount of time doing this homework will be significant in making a shift in your life. And then the class is being recorded, and there are handouts that go along with this class, and this class will be available for future sale as well. So just know that as I read your comments and feedback, that it will be shared. All right. So preparing for affirmative prayer. Clarity is power, and so I request that each one of us have a prayer intention as we step into prayer. When we show up, when you and I show up at a restaurant, we don't just say, give me some food. We say, I would like to have menu item 3, no onions, extra celery, and we're clear about what we want. Clarity is so powerful, especially in the invisible realm, because it takes an idea that is invisible and allows it to have a format to come through visibly. So when we pray, getting clear first before the prayer and setting an intention for the prayer is everything. So I want to share with you 4 reasons why I pray. When I first started my affirmative prayer work, I prayed predominantly to reconcile or to relieve or to requalify or to restore pain that I was experiencing. And this was mostly emotional pain, although anytime there's physical pain, I pray as well. And so I found myself doing a lot of prayer work around heartbreak, around feeling, and some ideas around heartbreak are like feeling rejected, feeling left out, feeling sad, believing that I wasn't wanted or desired. Prayer work around confusion, not knowing what is mine to do, what isn't mine to do, how to do it, feeling like, I used to be so codependent, I could put that on as a benefit, is that I'm not codependent anymore. I'm very clear about what is and isn't mine. And so there was a lot of time and commitment invested in releasing confusion. And the trauma that I shared that I experienced when I was younger had with it a lot of internal fear and storylines. And so there was prayer around transforming the trauma and prayers around beginning new, beginning again. And physically then, when I hurt myself in any way, like cut my finger or run into a blackberry bush or whatever the physical hurt is, I bring that into prayer. Or if there's illness or sickness, I do that as well. So what is powerful about this is that in all of these conditions, the opportunity with affirmative prayer is to recognize that we aren't a condition that's happening. Well, and that changes everything. But I am not the cut in my hand, and I am not the blackberries I'm picking out, and I'm not the broken heart, but that I am the divine presence of God, that I am an amazing, infinite intelligence that is having these earthly experiences. And just that alone allows me a greater spaciousness, and then amazing unfoldment happens from that consciousness or realization. So the first thing that brought me to affirmative prayer was to reconcile pain. The second then, which started developing for me, and truthfully always exists within each one of us, is that a desire comes up, that there is within us some kind of yearning that happens. And affirmative prayer for me has been wonderful in cultivating that desire. So an example of that may be that I desired to go take a trip and see the healer Dawn of God over in Brazil. And that desire was one that came from a place of wanting to be in the presence of someone who knew God so deeply that he could look at another human being and recognize that they were not ill in any way, that they were whole. And I wanted to be in that energy field. I wanted to be around that person. And so that was a desire of mine. I didn't have a pain. I didn't have a need. But there was something inside of me that was pulling me forward. I just recently moved to California, and that also fits in this category. My soul was pulling me to California. And in every way that unconsciously I could be pulled down here, I was pulled down here until I was down here more than I was actually at home. And I said, oh, my gosh, it makes more sense for me to live here. It took that for me to follow that deep, deep yearning. And my head was saying things like, California's expensive. My head was saying things like, it's really big and the traffic is bad. And my head was saying all this stuff, and my heart and my soul was just yearning with the desire to come to California. So there were many prayers around that too. The third reason I pray is I pray for another person or for another person as a client. Like I said, it is something that I do for a living. My prayer sessions aren't solely prayer, although the power of them is in the prayer, but the prayer sessions include alignment with spiritual thought, and they're very powerful. So as I pray for another, I have permission to pray for another, and it is not a form of manipulation. It is a form of opening. And then lastly, I pray whether I need something or desire something or not. I do it habitually, because that is the commitment that I made in my life. But I do it so that I can experience and be conscious of my communion with the divine. So those are the four reasons that I pray. So let's talk a bit about pain and prayer for transforming pain. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to have the opportunity, each one of you on the call, each one of you here in the program, is going to create and put together your master power prayer. And so as we go through this first class together and you are hearing there are four different reasons people pray, and really in our situation here, the two that we're looking at is transforming prayer or following desire. So with those two options or ideas, start thinking about what your master prayer is, your power prayer that is calling you. And I know that that it will start revealing itself to you in your dreams. You will start getting feelings and thoughts about it. I know it will organically show itself, and I know that you there will be no doubt around what is yours to pray for. So I want to look first at transforming pain and my process for doing that around with prayer, and then look at desire. So as I was working with clients over the years and myself, I shared with you that I was having issues around being clear, that my thinking was very muddled, especially my codependent self-thinking was very muddled. And so what I started doing when people were talking to me in a session and what I started doing in my own journal for myself is I started charting out the choice points that were in someone's story. So I started charting out those choice points that an individual made that had they made a different one, the whole story would have been different. And what I know is that patterns exist with choice points. So when someone has a pattern, let's say they smoke cigarettes, when someone has a pattern, then there's something that triggers it, and it's a thought. There's a thought that triggers it, and then the action follows. And there's usually a whole bunch of choice points involved in the process. So I know when I have pain or when someone else is suffering some kind of emotional angst, that it is because they have strung together a whole group of choice points out of habit, because that's what they know to do. That is their unconscious pattern. And then beneath that is a thought. So it's like I may have a thought of I'm sad, and that triggers the idea that I'm hungry, for example. And so when I become awake to, oh, sadness equals I want to eat, then I have conscious choice. It's gone from being unconscious into conscious. So this is the benefit to this process of how I identify pain and then get clear about the thought pattern underlying it and then bring my prayer forth from it. So this is what I do. I chart out an issue when I feel internally discombobulated. I chart out an issue by recognizing the choice points in order to see the underlying pattern. So this is an issue that I'm going to share with you, one that I experienced while writing my affirmative prayer book. And what was happening was I was working on the book with a deadline and the phone rang. Now, I answer the phone, and when I pick it up, it is a man on the other end of the line who is someone who every single time I would see him in a social situation would corner me and basically ask me to do a session with him for free. And I must have done this numerous times. And the good news to all of this is he loves my work. And the good news to all of this is that the insights that I have provided to him have been helpful in his life, so he keeps coming back. What my intention was to actually have a session with him, an hour-long session where we could sit down as minister and as client, and where I could do this process of charting out, have really deep conversations, and pray with him and give him homework assignments, because I felt like I was not serving him well, and I felt like I was not receiving the financial value for all of the work that I have done in consciousness. So that is the background. So the issue is, I'm working on a book. I have a tight deadline. The phone rings. I answer it, and it is this guy who corners me. It's the cornering man. I answer the phone, and immediately I have a visceral reaction where I feel icky inside. And this guy had yet another question for me that he wanted me to answer, and he just felt like he could call and I would be available to him. So I started listening, because with this phone call, when I said, "Hello, this is Reverend Bonnie," bam, the issue was on the table. There wasn't any kind of conversation between the two of us. It was urgent, which often happens with someone who has unhealed issues, is the belief that it needs to happen, healing needs to happen now, and it doesn't. But there was an urgency, a desperation, and like a blast that came through the phone, and I listened, and I listened, and I listened, and I listened, and I must have been on the phone with him for maybe 20 minutes. And then I'm sure we prayed. When we were done, I hung up, and then I was furious. I was really mad at myself, and I was so mad at myself because I thought there had to have been something I could have done within those 20 minutes that would have shortened the call, ended the call, honored me, and honored him. And at that point in time, I couldn't think of it. And so I was mad at myself, and I felt like I wasn't valued. So in charting out the choices that I made in this relationship, which is what I did, by the time I hung up with this gentleman, I thought, I am way too worked up over nothing. The truth is, I love humanity and I love to serve. And I had the freedom to say yes, and I had the freedom to say no, but I was so tied up with this. I was so internally tied up with this. And I knew for my own growth and well-being that I needed to chart out what was going on. So here are my different choice points. The first is that I set a deadline for the book. Had I not set a deadline, I might not have felt so pressured, and our conversation might have been welcomed or different. So the first choice I made is I set a deadline. The second choice I made is I answered the phone. With all of the technology that exists today, I did not need to answer the telephone. That was not a necessity. I chose to answer the phone. The third thing I did then was I listened to him, and any time I could have cut him off, or I could have interrupted, or I could have said something to divert or to end the call, and I didn't. The fourth choice that I had then was I labeled him. And if you noticed, I said that he was needy and that he would corner me, and that I described him, I labeled him. And had I not seen him as that, and instead maybe labeled him as someone who adores me, or labeled him as my greatest fan, or labeled him in another way, my energy around it would have been different. And then lastly, the choice that I made was not to value myself, which led to anger. So So that's charting out my choices. Most of the time, this is sufficient. Most of the time, when I did this, what I came up with for me was that the false belief was that there wasn't enough time, that there wasn't enough of me, that there wasn't enough. And so not enoughness was the underlying false belief here. However, there are times when the truth is I am not this chart here, but I am more like the energy of the other, because they both go together, and sometimes it helps me to chart out both. So in this case, I have that this gentleman dials the phone to call me. I answer the phone. He launches into his problem that he wants solved. So sometimes the irritation is that the other person is really me. You know what I'm saying? And that I'm being called to clean me up by seeing it in another person. So there are times when it helps for me to chart out the whole process. So he dials the phone to call me. I answer the phone. He launches into his problem. I listen and give some feedback. He dismisses my idea of having a session. I continue to listen and be supportive. I suggest we pray and we close in prayer, and I hang up and I do my chart. So those are the keys. All of those are benign. None of those have energy associated with them except the energy that I give it. That's where the energy exists. The energy exists when I am putting energy into it. So let's just take a moment here to breathe, because I'm talking fast and this is a lot of information. And you don't have to know it all right now, and I don't have to know it all right now. Let's just take a nice big breath. Very nice. So with your package, you're receiving handouts, and I will walk you through how to chart a pattern. And if your power prayer is coming out of pain, like, you just, no matter what you do, you don't have enough money. Or no matter how hard you try, you're just sick and sick and sick and sick and sick, and you just can't seem to be well. Or you just can't seem to lose weight. Or you just feel so lonely and so alone that it's painful. And if what you're experiencing is coming out of pain, then the charting is going to be great for you. And what I suggest is that you go back in time, and this will be in your handout, to your most recent flare-up, the most recent thing that caught your attention, and chart it out. And if there isn't anything right now, then throughout the week something will come up for you to chart. You can also, let's just leave it at that. Again, we're charting to look for the underlying belief, because at any one of those choice points, had I had a different thought, my belief would have been different. So as we are reading these out loud, I often have clients say to me, when I show them their chart, they often go, oh, my God, that was my sister, or, oh, my God, that's how my parents treated me, or, oh, my God, my teacher, blah, blah, blah. And we can often see where it even originated. And so we can see the age of it sometimes, which is great, because we don't care. We just want to walk through it, so we really don't care. All right. What charting does for me, as I shared with you, it visibly shows me a pattern. So it shows me the behavior and the choice points. When I look at both people in the process, then I can often see myself as the other person on the other side. And then I realize the false thought that I'm thinking, and out of that false thought comes a solution, which is the remedy. And that then leads me to identifying the quality of God that my soul is asking me to inhibit more of, to express more of, to inhabit more of. My soul is asking me, every time there is a problem, the solution is expressing more of myself as God. So whenever there's something that comes up, I go, oh, isn't this interesting? I'm to express more love, more peace, more joy, more abundance. Whatever I'm being called to, I am being called to become more. And charting does this for me. All right, I'm going to open up the lines here for just a few questions. And I see I have one from Julie. And Julie says, thank you for showing me how to untangle my mental chaos. I look forward to trying this. Great, Julie. I look forward to it, too. And I do ask each one of you if I ask you all to try it on your own. And if you get stuck, email me. But don't email me before you've tried it on your own, because it really is very powerful. Any other thoughts, questions, or ideas? All right, let's move on then. Okay, now we're going to go to qualities of God. And there is an ebook that I have for you as part of this class on qualities of God. Do not let yourself get overwhelmed by this book. Let it be a reference for you. Let yourself grow into it. The bottom line to qualities of God is that in all spiritual sacred texts, God is described, first of all, as an unknown mystery, but shows evidence of itself in ways that we consider to be good. And so God shows itself in stories, in sacred stories, as being love, intelligence, beauty, peace, joy, life, good, health, substance, wholeness, as the source. Protection, power, faith, creativity, abundance, prosperity as well. Qualities of God are attributes of God. It is evidence that God exists. It is not the totality of God, but God is the totality of it. And so all love comes from God, whatever form it's in, whether it's intimate love or a parent-child love, or a family love, or an appreciation love, or a friendship love, whatever form it comes in, its originating source is the presence of God. So all intelligence is of God. God is intelligent. It created heavens and earth. All that we see and we don't see comes from the presence of God. So qualities of God are what all sacred texts of all major world religions have said, here's evidence that God is. Here's stories about God, and God shows up as these qualities. And so because God is all there is, God is a presence, and God is never an absence. It is our limited human ego itself that interprets absence. So we experience distress because we don't know the presence of God in a situation. As we bring forth more of God in our lives and in situations, that distress diminishes. That distress can be eliminated. So there is incredible power in each one of these qualities of God. The reason this is important is that affirmative prayer is built on the knowing that God is all there is and that it has these various qualities. So I shared with my pain story that I shared that I felt as though there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough of me. There wasn't enough that there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough. And so always, always God is the solution. So in this story, for me, grace as a quality of God seemed to fit, wholeness seemed to fit to me, and abundance. And as I sat with it and tried each one of those on, and I love to try on qualities of God to see what feels best in my body. It's like taking a supplement. You know, I go like, is that abundance? Is that grace? It's really cool. I narrowed it down to abundance, that for me, really the key was the belief that I held in my mind that there just was not enough time. So the quality of God that I was searching for, what I am to become more of, is the abundant nature of God. Okay, does that make sense? So then I said that there are two places that we will pray from, and one of two places that you will choose to create your power prayer from. Either from something that just is so painful that you want your life different than that, or an inner desire that's welling up. And here are some inner desires. It may be that that you're not sick, but that you want to be healthy, like you want every aspect of your being to radiate the health of God. And there may be an inner desire within you to do that, to become that, to express that, to be that in the world. You may be called into wealth. You may be called to experience the abundant nature of God through wealth. And wealth is more money. Wealth is it is having more, but it is so much more than that. True wealth is really seeing and recognizing and knowing that all of your needs will be met, that all of your desires will be fulfilled, that you are in relationships that are rich relationships, heart to heart, love to love, God to God, that it is rich. So wealth is so much more than money, and it does include that since money is energy. You may really be sick and tired of being depressed. Or you may be happy, but you really want to go deeper into joy, and that's coming from praying from an inner desire. You may desire a partner, or have an inner desire for greater peace, or the inkling that you may like your job just fine now, but you may really want to do what you've always wanted to do. And so your power prayer may come from desire. And so you're going to be asked to look at your power prayer here this week. And so remember that your power prayer can be built from either an internal pain, desiring to be converted, to be known as something other than it, or it can come from an internal welling up and desire. Okay, so I'm going to give just a little brief history of affirmative prayer. And affirmative prayer is noted to have been started by the founder of Science of Mind, Dr. Ernest Holmes. And he was a master assimilator and synthesizer. So he took what was true with a capital T. He took what was true that he knew that was the most true about what mystics have known as the presence of God, and put it in a usable way for humanity so that individuals could access this presence by shifting their mind in a way to be aligned with it. So Ernest Holmes says, a man will deliver himself from sickness and trouble in exact proportion to his discovery of himself and his true relationship with the whole, which is God. And then Dr. Ernest Holmes, in his book, Living the Science of Mind, attributes Phineas Quimby, who was a clockmaker and a healer. He has more healing on record than almost any other human being of all time. His healing was amazing, and I read his work. He kept diaries of the healing work that he did, and he said in his diaries that his job was to act like a lawyer and to be in front of a judge and to bring someone's case in front of this judge as the lawyer and to rationalize out what was going on inside with someone's thoughts, bring them external, ration them till they get to a point where those thoughts no longer hold power over an individual. And what he came to say in his journals was that like 90%, some large percent, and I don't have it written down, I wish I did, but some very large percent of his clients, almost all of his patients that he saw, came to him because of their false beliefs
around God and around what they were taught at church, and that they were coming with guilt. They were coming believing they were sinful. They were coming shamed, just incredibly shamed. And so it was his work to remind them of who they really were and to fight a case for them. And in affirmative prayer, we fight cases. The realization stage we'll get to will be a yes and a no process that's really powerful. And that came, that was influenced by Phineas Quimby's work. So he says, I make war with what comes in contact with health and happiness, believing that God made everything good. And if there's anything wrong, it is the effect of ourselves, and that man is responsible for his acts and even his thoughts. The other person Dr. Holmes attributes affirmative prayer to is a gentleman named Frederick Lawson, and he actually wrote a book on healing treatments. And interestingly enough, back in the turn of the century, when shifting thought was such a prevalent way of spiritual healing, the process was called spiritual treatments, or scientific mental treatments, or scientific spiritual treatments, because as a doctor would give medicine, a spiritual person would give the truth. And so part of the lineage of affirmative prayer is that an affirmative prayer comes out of truth. So here are four benefits according to a scientific spiritual prayer. And this is what Friedrich L. Lawson said. He said, four benefits of praying this way, in his experience, is spiritual discernment. And spiritual discernment means you know what is yours to do, you know what isn't yours to do, and that, my friend, saves all kinds of energy. It is very efficient. The second benefit of the four, he says, is seen rightly results in bringing forth a healing atmosphere for everyone in our presence. And this is where clients and students often say to me, oh, my God, you are so alive, Reverend Bonnie. I just love being around you. And that is because what prayer has done for me is that it has created an atmosphere for the most part of where I go. I still have to do the work. But that atmosphere can feel different because I am connected and I know it. The third benefit to scientific prayer is shifting our thoughts away from sin to God. So shifting our thoughts from I am bad, I was born horrible, I am not enough, all of the sinful ideas grounded in sin, to shifting to the qualities of God. And then the fourth benefit is the one who prays takes on the inner quality of heaven. Isn't that beautiful? The one who prays takes on the inner quality of heaven. Emma Curtis Hopkins, then, one of my very favorite mystics, and I actually wrote a book using Emma's work to train people to become mystics. It's called A Year of Good, Daily Lessons for the Mystic in Training. And if you don't already have a copy, I highly, highly recommend that you do get one. And you can go to my website, BonnieBarner.com, for that. Emma says, regarding prayer, all science has affirmation and negation. In the science of numbers, you subtract what is not wanted from what is wanted. In the science of geology, you say, this is not aqueous rock. This is not igneous rock. You show as much wisdom by negations as you do by affirmations. And we will go into that also in the realization part of prayer. And what is powerful about this is just the other day I heard a neuroscientist saying that in our brain, no's have more powers than yeses. Isn't that interesting? He says our brain remembers no's more than yes. So if it helps us, which it does, to say I am not sinful, or I am not sick, or I am not ugly, or I am not whatever, and then say I am this, then that can be very powerful. a little bit more about Dr. Holmes. He's the founder of Science of Mind. He brought the technology of affirmative prayer to the masses. His teaching is made available for Science of Mind centers and the Center for Spiritual Living. And his process is a 5-step process. That is what I am teaching. I often begin my prayers in gratitude because it's an easy way to slide in. Agape uses gratitude as the first, they've added a step, and I see where that is very valuable. Here's a quote from myself. The presence of God is the answer to everything. Our perceived problem is calling forth more of our inner God as a remedy until the inner God is more active within us than our perceived problems. And now to our assignment for this next week. And this class is actually longer than our other ones when I timed them out, because we jumped right into it. Isn't that great? So our assignment for next week, I'm asking you to identify the issue that you would like to shift in prayer, the desire welling up from you. Choose one thing that you would like to work for in these next, I say 5 weeks, but it may be more like 6 or 7. And determine the quality of God that aligns with, that is the remedy that aligns with the solution for you. And when you have identified that quality of God, then sit for 5 minutes a day in silence with that quality and journal any insights that come up for you as you contemplate. So if you know, Bonnie, I really want a relationship, then what I would like you to do is to contemplate the quality of God as love. Contemplate the quality of God as love. Go into meditation and just think love. Breathe in love, breathe out love. Just contemplate love. Just sit quiet, just center yourself, and say the word love. You can even ask the question, what am I to know about love? What do I know about love? What is God's love? You contemplate the idea of love and journal and take notes and let it ripen in you. Let it ripen in you. You may be looking at expanding wealth, same thing with wealth. You may be looking at just desiring a whole and healthy body, same thing. What is health? What is health? What is health? To be with that question, to sit with health, to feel it, to feel it. Feeling is so much in this process. So that's it for our class today. I will be praying for each one of you for clarity, for perfect unfoldment. You have my email address, which is revbonnieb@gmail.com. That's revbonnieb@gmail.com. I'll make sure next week it's on the slides and it's in your handouts. And I, my friend, look forward to working with you over these next several weeks, designing and playing with your power prayer. And more than that, to have you learn a technology that is portable and goes with you any and everywhere. All right, so a quick prayer out. Take another big deep breath. This is a lot of information, and you don't have to know it all now. And so closing today, I just celebrate the intelligence of God that came forward today in, through, and as each one of us. I embrace it. I honor it. I call it good. I call it done. I know that each person will be given within themselves the perfect right quality of God in order to design their power prayer. I trust the presence of God at work. I trust this thing called affirmative prayer. And I trust the intelligence that has called each person on this call forward in order to learn together and in order to become more, in order to express more God, the good. And so it is. Amen. Blessings.